Oi, you know what time it is? You're tuned in listening to Draw That Aussie Metal Guy. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you don't miss any of his content when it drops. And remember, stay brutal, you mad dogs. Roof.
G'day, how are you all going? It's Jai, that Aussie Metal Guy here with Crank.com and with Cranium Radio. So today, tonight, wherever you are in the world, it's a great pleasure that I'm having a chat with Sophia and Josh from Forgotten Shrine, whose debut single, Where Shadows Lie, came out today, the 3rd of April. It's an absolutely ripping track. It's a cool debut. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Absolute pleasure, guys. I want to find out a little bit more about your background, if I can. So if we can kind of ask you both kind of where your love of music, and in particular heavy music and folk music, kind of came from.
Sure. Sophia, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go. So okay. I was raised in a pretty musical household. Like, I've just always had music around, and my dad was a huge fan of classic rock, and so I always grew up kind of around classic rock and similar genres. And then I eventually started like going off in my own direction musically and started listening to other things, like started with Led Zeppelin, for instance. And then I started going into progressively heavier things, got into a lot of 80s metal in my teens, and then eventually discovered some newer bands through their influences that I had been into through my adolescent years. And so yeah, it's just kind of been this constant progression from like the early stuff to the newer stuff. And I think I started getting into folk metal and folk music more when I started paying more attention to like the soundtracks in my favorite video games. So I'm a huge fan of like Skyrim and yeah, the Soulsborne games. I felt like the music to me was a storytelling device in that way. And I just loved the way the music carried the story. And also ever since I was little, I always like loved movie soundtracks. I was just always drawn to that for whatever reason. And so in the back of my mind, consistently, music is a storytelling device at the end of the day. And so I thought, hey, it'd be really cool to start incorporating some of these like film and movie and video game styles of music into the heavier music that I also like. And I discovered that there's a whole really cool little niche for that here in folk metal and power metal. And so I just started exploring that more with bands like Nightwish, Camelot, Avantasia, even Epica a little bit to a degree. And then I eventually discovered that folk metal was actually a thing, and I was ecstatic. So, yeah, that's kind of how that progressed. And regarding my own musical background, I have played guitar since I was 12, so for about 12 years. And I initially just was a guitar player. That was all I did. And then in college, I started a band, and that didn't really go anywhere, but I was the guitarist and the backing vocalist for that band. And there was a lot that I wanted to do with my guitar and vocals that I couldn't do in that band because it wouldn't have fit the style. So I started experimenting on my own and learning how to compose by myself, learning how to make my guitar parts fit my vocal parts more, learning how to piece everything together instead of just taking everything in isolation. So that's kind of how Exiled Hope started, because I was bored and I had other things to say outside of the confines of another group. Yep. So my solo project is Exiled Hope, and that's been going on since early 2019. And I've been collaborating with other artists and making my own music as Exiled Hope since 2019. And I've done a couple of film scores since then. It started as just small projects for a friend who's a YouTuber. I just started doing his background music. And then I got asked by a couple of college friends if I would want to do music for their films. And so that's how I got into slightly bigger projects, still like small independent short films, but bigger budget, more professional setting. So that's kind of the trajectory that I'm on myself. musically. And then Forgotten Shrine came along, and yeah, that's kind of where things are now.
I'll come back to you because I want to ask you a couple of questions about what you said there, but we'll jump into what Josh there, a bit of your background and history, mate.
Sure. So sim very similarly to Sophia, I've been playing guitar since I was 12. I picked that up, took lessons for like 4 or 5 years, played in church, which is what you do if you're in America in the middle of nowhere, and that's the only place that you can play. But anyway, around that time, around actually when I started learning how to play the guitar, I discovered Nightwish, and I discovered Elvitie and all these different bands, which before that, before I had really gone into the kind of Nuclear Blast, Napalm Records style of bands, I was mostly listening to like 3 Days Grace and Breaking Benjamin and Skillet. Very big Skillet fan back in the day. Back in the day.
They're about to hit Australia, actually, too.
But yeah, I actually discovered the Hurdy-Gurdy through a band called Omnia, and I was watching the music video for I Don't Speak Human, and I saw their hurdy-gurdist and harpist Jenny playing it, and I was like, what is that? What is that? I need to learn more about that. I need one. So around 2020, during the pandemic, I decided, you know what, I'm gonna bite the bullet, I'm gonna buy a hurdy-gurdy. And I had no idea how much of a thing that would turn into for me. I absolutely adore the instrument. I'm having another one built right now by a good friend of mine, Michael, at Hurdy-Gurdy USA. But yeah, I mean, folk metal is just such a perfect amalgamation of everything that I love. I love bagpipes. I love traditional instrumentation, traditional instruments, and then the blending that with heavy metal is really where I've found my musical home.
It feels like the perfect blend of like light and dark and the edginess versus softness. It just feels like a very holistic mix of everything that we like. And if you
Exactly.
haven't
Yeah,
noticed yet, we are
the
the same
blending of
person
it.
at once.
Yeah. So how did you guys meet as well? How did this connection and this project start? Tell us a little bit about how it all began for you guys.
So back in 2021, when around the time that I was first getting into like buying and collecting these folk instruments and, you know, wasting all of my paychecks on that, around that time I had gotten an Irish bouzouki, and I was posting reels of it, and apparently the algorithm really likes the Irish bouzouki because I used those hashtags, and then I was raking in like a good amount of views back during the like the sea shanty TikTok trend of 2021. And Sophia found one of my reels through that. I think I tagged it as Bardcore. And she showed up in my comment section and she was like, wow, this is great. And then I looked at her profile and I was like, wait a second, we follow all of the same bands. Like the list of the same bands that we're following was like this long. And not only that, but she's from the US, which is very rare to find somebody from the US who has the same taste in music as me. So I was thrilled.
Yeah, well,
As I said earlier, we're the same person in different fonts.
it's got a great sound, definitely rooted in that folk metal sound as well. But you were talking about how you'd done have both a love of soundtracks and music soundtracks and game soundtracks, and me being a massive gamer and also a lover of soundtracks and music and huge Lord of the Rings nerd as well. I really
Perfect.
did.
This song is for you.
Yeah, so tell
Perfect.
us all about kind of your love of soundtracks and of gaming as well, because I'm a massive gamer, and music and gaming for me is something that's always gone hand in hand, and the progression of music and soundtracks to now is unreal, because I started gaming way back when I think it was River Raid and the old Atari Master Systems and Sega Master System. It was Atari 2600 before, but the evolution of soundtracks with gaming has been really good to see as well. Tell us more about that for you guys, your side of it.
So, like, I don't know, it's just always been something that I paid attention to when I was playing games or watching other people play games on YouTube. That's more what I tend to do these days because I don't have a lot of time in law school to play games. So yeah, it feels like it really sets the mood for the game and for the story that the game is trying to tell. Because I don't know, a lot of the times games will kind of bury the story, especially if they're more like open world and you have to sort of discover it for yourself. So the music is a great way to get the listener acclimated to the feel of the story. Like one soundtrack that I have been listening to a lot lately is the Red Dead Redemption soundtrack. And that's actually huge for me because I started out playing classical guitar, and there's a lot of Spanish influence and acoustic stuff in that soundtrack, and I just absolutely love it. And so, yeah, soundtrack music feels like it has an extra layer of depth to it that we want to accomplish with our own music, even if it's not the soundtrack yet. We want to make sure that we immerse our listener in the story in very much the same way.
Exactly. It does have this extra depth to it as well. And I know that ABC, I listen to a little bit of classical music as well. And I know once a week they have a show where they'll play music, classical music that has been attached to video games as well. And that's always really interesting for me to kind of see the hand in hand in gaming and music. And also our movie soundtrack work is unreal. Like I've got my co-host does the Bloody Legends podcast with, he actually does movie soundtrack as well for like B-grade horrors and stuff like that, which is really cool. Tell us a little bit about your work in that and how you go composing soundtracks for movies and stuff. And
Yeah, I recently released a soundtrack for a short horror film called What Happens After Midnight. The film recently got its worldwide release on YouTube
nice.
a couple of weeks ago. And so that soundtrack is actually my best-selling work on Bandcamp. It's different from my usual style because it's more electronic, and usually my music is more acoustic-based or more classical-based. So I started doing that originally in, I think, 2020 when a friend who's a YouTuber just started asking me to make soundtracks for his little YouTube projects. And it started out very small, and it was just something that I was doing in like 30 minutes, but I really enjoyed having the added challenge of putting the music in that storytelling context, like I was saying earlier. And then I think in 2022, someone, a college student, messaged me on Bandcamp saying that they loved my music and that he wanted my music to, that he wanted me to compose an original soundtrack for a film he was making. It's kind of a supernatural thriller that's also based in, I think it's based off of a Finnish folktale. It's like a retelling of something like that. And so he asked me to do the soundtrack for it, and we started talking, and we liked all of the same bands. Like, he's really into doom metal. I'm also really into doom metal, like Swallow the Sun, Draconian, Insomnium, things like that. And so we just instantly hit it off, and I started composing this very folksy sounding music for his film. And he loved it. And hopefully the film will come out this year. I don't know where it's at in the editing process yet, but it's definitely coming soon. And the sound, and I'm just waiting very impatiently to release the soundtrack for that one.
Awesome. We'll jump back into Where Shadows Lie. Josh, tell us a little bit about the composition of this track and the storytelling with the music as well, because it seems like talking to both of you at the moment, like storytelling is a huge part of the music as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So on the overt side of things, the song Where Shadows Lie is about the Lord of the Rings, because Where Shadows Lie refers to Mordor. But the specifically what it's about is the part in the Return of the King where Aragorn is leading all the men of the West into Mordor to fight. So it's essentially it's like a call to arms type of song, very anthemic, and it really I wanted to capture the feeling of really wanting to fight against the forces of darkness, like just wanting to fight them head on, and I think it really carries that kind of attitude. But as for like the folk intro, I love folk intros. In fact, the while I was composing it, Sophia had mentioned that she wanted it to have kind of the same feel as Avantasia's Scarecrow song, which we both love Avantasia. I know Sophia could talk about Avantasia all day.
I interviewed
but
Tobias for that last album as well. Absolutely
oh
top
wow,
bloke.
I had no idea.
Good guy, dude. I also interviewed, speaking of folk metal, I recently interviewed Sammy Petula from Corpiclani as well. That
I
forthcoming
saw that.
album from them is absolutely
Oh.
unreal. Runcarampu, I think I've annihilated it. Sorry, guys.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So while I was composing it and bouncing ideas back and forth, Sophia had thrown that idea out that it should have that kind of feel of the Scarecrow. And I was like, this leads into the song absolutely perfectly, because when the hurdy-gurdy and the guitars and everything hit, it hits that much harder, because you had that like folk with the baron drum and the hurdy-gurdy at the beginning. It just had that much more punch. But yeah, on the overt side, it's about the Lord of the Rings, but I would say it also has the real life application of just standing up for what you know is right and wanting to fight against the forces of darkness, or whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah, it definitely has a great feel to it, and you feel that after the end of the track. Like, come on, let's go, let's attack the day. I've
Yeah.
got this. Whatever's coming up against me. What was it like? Because you are in different parts of the country. You's kind of working remotely. Like, you've got this track out. Have you got other stuff you've been working on behind the scenes? Has this kind of motivated you to kind of get some more out? What's the plans going forward with you guys?
Yeah, so going forward, oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, going forward, we have like four or five other songs in development. The plan is to have two more songs out this year,
Nice.
with the eventual plan of having an album at the end of next year, possibly 2026. Because we're both very busy people.
Yeah, I do. Oh,
We have a
yeah.
lot of projects going on.
Yeah, you are both very busy. So, what other projects you got going on? I know, Sophia, you're in PR, and it does make perfect sense for you guys, because this being a debut single, to kind of drip feed singles out, kind of get that attention, get a few film clips out. I suppose you guys are, speaking of, doing a film clip for this one as well, are we?
We're doing a playthrough clip,
Oh, cool.
so it's just us like playing through the song together. And
Nice.
so yeah, it's I've learned a lot working in PR these past couple of months, and the dripping out singles seems to really work to gather momentum for an album. Because what you really don't want to do is just drop an album with no singles released, and you also don't want to just drop out a bunch of singles without adequate promotional time for each of them. You want each single to have its time to gain momentum and to gain a fan base and to really give people a more accurate picture of what you do.
Yeah,
So
let
that's kind
them
of the
breathe.
strategy behind this. Yeah,
Exactly.
let's breathe.
It seems like a lot of work, because you're in PR. You're also, did you mention you're in law school as
I'm in law school, yeah.
law
I'm
school?
studying to be an entertainment lawyer. So I can be the
So you'd be
lawyer too.
flat out. So you'd see both sides of the industry as well. And, as you mentioned, like releasing albums, not putting any songs off it or any film clips, kind of drops into dead air. And the state of the scene at the moment, like, you kind of, as you mentioned, Bandcamp. I'm a huge lover of Bandcamp and buying albums and listening to whole albums and merch. And a project like you guys, like, you should probably love to be able to put an album together, tell a story through an album, and release it straight away. But it doesn't make any sense at all, because unfortunately, not many people listen to whole albums. And I was chatting to Shred about this yesterday, like, listening to his album. Like, you listen to some albums, and these artists put so much time and effort into the composition to kind of tell a story through the album, and then one person listened to a single. Whereas I was listening to his album, and it kind of circles back on each other. And sometimes you'll find these little nuances with listening to whole albums that people do forget about now as well.
Yeah, it's really painful as someone who really, really loves concept albums to have to just drip singles out, possibly in a random order, and not have people get as fully immersed in the album as they could be. So I will always be a huge proponent of having the singles build up to an actual album release, because it just feels all that more special to have that build up and then that big release, all that excitement has built up to something, and there's something more to connect to at the end of the day than just a bunch of random singles.
Exactly. And some of the deep cuts on some of these albums are absolutely unreal. I know with the guys that you, the bands that you are all working with, some unreal bands and some unreal projects. And it's to me, it's really important for you to have PR, especially as a band coming through. I don't know. It does seem to be to me to be important, or at least have some connections with media to be able to do things like this and connect with listeners all over the place. And I think COVID kind of made it a lot easier for media places like me, and also for bands like you to be able to, one, make albums, work on projects like this across the country, but also to be able to connect with fans and artists through PR and media outlets as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Josh, what other projects you got on, mate? You mentioned you're fairly busy as well with what you got going on. I know you have a fair few eggs in the boil as well.
So I've done some work with Regina, the dark-eyed musician. She's like a Celtic world music type of awesome. She has like this awesome soundtrack-ish type sound that I've done some Irish bouzouki and stuff for her. So I assume that we'll probably be working on some stuff pretty soon. Me and Sophia also worked with a music producer on a song that may or may not be released. But other than that, it's mostly Forgotten Shrine. Like I said, there's th four or five songs that are in development right now, early stages. The next song that we're going to be releasing later this summer is going to be a cover of Parting Glass, the traditional Irish folk song.
Oh, nice. I love that. I love Irish. I love folk music, dude. I know one of the things I've noticed with doing this side of things and on music media, I get to listen to so much music. It's really great for me. I don't know how people can go only listen to one genre. Like I'm like chatting to you guys, listen to folk metal, I'm chatting to shred, and then I'm listening to doom metal, listen to death metal. I just love the whole state of the metal scene at the moment. There's so many great bands out there and so many good quality musicians like yourselves coming up and through the scene at the moment is really encouraging to see as well. Plug your pluggables, guys. Where's the best place people can kind of get along and support Forgotten Shrine and check out your other stuff as well?
I think we're most active on Instagram right now, right?
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you go, Josh.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay, I was gonna say I am Josh underscore 1138 on Instagram, and then Forgotten Shrine is our YouTube channel, and also on Instagram, Forgotten Shrine Band.
Yeah, and I'm legally underscore metal on Instagram. So that's where I'm most active. And I think we're also gonna post more to our YouTube channel, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to be doing the playthrough video and doing lyric videos for each single.
Yeah, so
Exactly.
there will be lots of behind the scenes stuff posted to our YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, those YouTube videos are really good. It's good to see like YouTube stepping up and you're able to get film clips over there as well, people. But it's also important for people to remember to hit that little fucking subscribe, hit the little bell, hit the
Smash
like.
that like button.
It costs nothing at all. Like I see some of these bands and they have like 58,000 views on a video and they've got like 300 subscribers. It's like step up, people. Support the scene. It costs nothing as well. So get
It's
along.
free.
It's free. It costs absolutely nothing. Also, guys, you're releasing on all the Spotify and the streaming platforms, yeah?
Yep, tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow,
Awesome.
April 3rd.
Bandcamp at all for the nerds that like to buy it.
I don't think we're doing Bandcamp
I don't
yet.
think no, that's you can support Exiled Hope on Bandcamp though. Make sure to
Yeah,
go
I
do
know
that.
you. Yeah, I've heard your other project, Exiled Hope. That's absolutely really, really good and worth checking out as well, people. Look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I would like to have a chat with you when you release your next single and talk all about that one as well. Do you have any last words, shout outs, thank yous, or anything else you'd like to add in there, my friends?
Thank you so much for interviewing us. This is awesome.
Absolute
Yeah, it's
pleasure.
a great opportunity. I'm stoked to be releasing, and I'm so thankful that you had us on today.
Always proud to support everybody. Get along, go check out Forgotten Shrine. The latest single, Where Shadows Lie, did drop today, which is the 3rd of April. It's an absolute ripper. Put it in the stereos, crank it up really loud. The neighbors are going to want to hear it. Cheers, guys. Thank you.